When I was, I did a bit of relief teaching in 1999 at a Christian school, and there was a teacher away in the infant school, and they asked me to take an infant's class, and far out. I was, you see, they all talk at once, and they all want you at once, and Mr. Walker. Anyway, just what they were doing to Fee then. But they're so beautiful, little children. Look at this. I was having a coffee. Did you know where the bookshop is in Austinville there? I was having a coffee there one afternoon, and all these little children came along with their teacher, and one of them came over and gave me this. They all had one to give out to somebody. And it says, from the kids at St. Joey's, here's a little treat, a random act of kindness that can't be beat. Keep this bookmark or give it away and bring a smile to someone this day. And the front of it says, if you can be anything, be kind. Isn't that nice? Yeah. Made my day. I almost shed a tear. And now I've lost my place in my Bible because I took it out. Yeah. Anyway. So that passage that was read out before very capably, I sort of, it is a bit, it does sound a bit complicated, but it's not really. At least I don't think, I might have missed something, but I don't think it is. Let me just pray before we start. Dear Lord Jesus and loving Heavenly Father, I pray this morning, Father, that your words would be the ones that are spoken here. I ask you, Lord, that you would almost take me out of the way, Father God, because you have been talking to me all week about what to say today. And Father, I just pray that you would set this time and place aside for your purposes. And that you would be with your people this morning. Surround this place with your holy angels and set it aside. Please, Father God, in Jesus' name. Something's happened to my voice too. I don't know what that is. Talking about people who are 100 years old. I met a lady yesterday when we were visiting Carol's mother, who's 100 years old. And she was amazing. Far out. I'm going to be 100 years old in 27 years, I think. So when I look back at the 27 years ago, I sort of only seems like the day before yesterday, so I'm a bit worried about that. But this woman said, I said, you would know Elaine. And she said, Elaine is a lovely little woman. And I thought to myself, she's bigger than you. But Elaine, I know you've got a great sense of humour. And you're the exact epitome of what I want to speak about this morning. So you shine for Jesus, Elaine, and you don't realise it a lot of the time. But may God bless you and everyone else here. I just this verse in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 3, says a lot about the law, and it says a lot about the veil that's over Moses' face. So I thought I'd just go back into Exodus 20 to start with, so that you can get a bit of the background on what Paul is talking about when he's talking to the church in Corinth, about the difference between the Holy Spirit indwelling and the law of Moses. So first of all, I just thought I'd read the Ten Commandments out, because we don't often read them out, or we don't often see them in written form these days. What I might do is put my glasses on so I can see them, because I might get some of the you shall nots in the wrong order. This is... Now I can't fit my glasses on my head because it's... Righto. The Ten Commandments in Exodus 20. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not bow down to an idol. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. You shall keep the Sabbath holy. You should honour your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbour. And you shall not covet your neighbour's house. So Moses was up on the top of Mount Sinai. The Israelites had only been 3 months out from being liberated from Egypt. They'd witnessed amazing signs and wonders under the hand of our mighty God. He'd opened the waters for them, and there was all sorts of amazing wonders that you can read about in Exodus before they were liberated from Egypt. So it was only 3 months, and they were camped at the foot of Mount Sinai, and Moses went up at God's calling to the top of Mount Sinai, and the Lord met him up there and gave him the Ten Commandments. Excuse me. Runny nose, and it's just probably the first cold day of the year, really. Yesterday was. Yeah, so it was a special time, and he was away for 40 days, and when he came back down with the Ten Commandments written on stone by the hand of God, the people had been playing up, and they had broken all their pledges to God, and they'd made a golden calf and were worshipping it, worshipping an idol, and there was revelry in the camp. And so there was a big price to pay for that. 3,000 were killed by the sword under the hand of God, and a plague was sent upon the people. And it was only Moses himself who stood in the gap and said, "Lord, these people are your people. Please have mercy on them and forgive them." And then later, Moses went up again for a second time for 40 days. And the previous time, the Lord had given him a list of all sorts of instructions, from how to build the tabernacle to the Ark of the Covenant to what the priests should wear, even right down to the final detail. This time God said, "Before you come up again, bring two new stone tablets that you've cut out of stone yourself, and I will write the commandments on them again for you to take back to your people." So these were the commandments that the Israelites were to follow. Now, that is basically the law that's being talked about in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And there's another thing that's talked about in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and that is the veil. So I'll just very quickly read out what that has to say, what Paul has to say there. This is not Paul, this is Moses. "When Moses came down from Mount Sinai, with two tablets of the testimony in his hands, he was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken to the Lord. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, his face was radiant, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, so Aaron, and all the leaders of the community came back to him, and he spoke to them. Afterwards, all the Israelites came near him, and he gave them all the commands that the Lord had given him on Mount Sinai. When Moses finished speaking to them, he put a veil over his face. But when he entered the Lord's presence to speak to him, he removed the veil until he came out. And when he came out and told the Israelites what he had been commanded, they saw that his face was radiant. Then Moses would put the veil back on his face until he went in to speak to the Lord." So that's the veil, and that's the veil that's mentioned in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And when I find 2 Corinthians chapter 3, we can keep going. I'll get this all together in a second. I'm a little bit sort of, don't know what it is. Anyway, I just wanted to sort of find out from you, really, if you could put your hand up, if you're a rule follower, someone who follows rules. I probably am a bit. Sometimes you do. Carol will tell you that I usually follow rules, but there is one time where I don't, and that's if I'm in a car park and there's arrows painted on the ground. And I sort of tend to, on purpose, go against the arrows. I don't know why I do that. When I was teaching I started teaching in 1975, and I was 21 years old. And that same year, two good friends of mine started school at the age of 13, so they're 8 years younger than me. And we became great friends in later life. Our paths crossed more than once. One guy's name was Rico, and Rico was from a working class family, quite intelligent, but just would not follow the rules. If there was a school rule to be broken, Rico would do it. And the other guy was Rick as well, and he did the same. Not so much as Rico. Rico really went out of his way to break the school rules. So he was often on detention. He was often expelled. Not expelled, rather. He was suspended quite often. And he used to come down to me to talk to me about it, about why it was that he was getting into trouble. He's one of those kids who didn't really fit with school, and he didn't fit with rules. He would always be in trouble. The reason he used to come down to me was because I was the woodwork teacher, and I was a young guy, and I had long blonde hair, and I was sort of pretty, I suppose, regarded by the kids as a bit cool, because the next youngest teacher was about 40. And I surfed, and I sort of had the other advantage of the most popular rock and roll band in Australia at the time was, my brother was in it. So there was all these things that made people want to come and see me when they were in trouble, and Rico was one of them. And I got to know him pretty well, and my advice to him was, Rico, just don't talk, because every time you talk, you get into trouble. Just be quiet. And the other Rick used to come and see me as well. And these two young guys, we developed a friendship as they got older, and they left school at year 10, and they still used to come around and see us. And Carol used to look after them and make them cakes and all sorts of things. So they've developed into old friends. When I came to the Lord, I actually saw both of them independently and told them what had happened to me and how God had been so wonderful to me. And both of them said at the time, that's probably good for you, mate, but it's probably not for me. And I said, okay, no problems. So we come to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm going to read it out, and that's on my head. Are they on my head? No, they're in my pocket. There. Like the person says, where's my sunglasses? They're on your head. I've been that person a few times. I'm going to read this out now. Now, when I went to... let's go down to chapter 3. Are we beginning to commend ourselves again? By the way, I didn't just mention the two Rickos for nothing. I'm going to come back and talk to you about them a little bit later. And I'm not going to ramble on for too long, but you've got to realise that this is the only chance I do get to ramble on. And so just cut me a bit of slack. I'll get it together in a sec. Are we beginning to commend ourselves again, or do we need, like some people, letters of recommendation to you or from you? You yourselves are our letters, written on our hearts, known and read by everybody. You show you that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. So here's this analogy between the Ten Commandments and the hearts of the people. And that's what I say, and I'll sort of link this up a little bit later in a short while. If you've come to a point in your life where you've surrendered absolutely everything to Jesus, and you've said to the Lord, "You take things from now. I can't do it. I'm putting my life and every part of my future into your hands, Jesus." You will have received the Holy Spirit. It's not a set of rules anymore. The Spirit of the living God comes and dwells in you, in your heart. And to others, you're different. You might not think you're different, but you are different. You are shining a light in an often dark world, and you don't often realize it. That's why I said Elaine is a great example, and I don't want to embarrass Elaine, because there are many others here as well. Each one of us who have taken that step of putting our lives in the hands of Jesus has the Holy Spirit. There are many manifestations of the Holy Spirit. People in Pentecostal churches concentrate on this aspect of Scripture only quite often. But everybody who has taken that step of surrendering their lives to Jesus has the Holy Spirit. It's a fact. My daughter, when she was about 15, came to me and she said, "Dad, 6 months ago, I surrendered my life to Jesus and I don't feel any different." And I said, "Jamie, you don't see yourself from the outside. How much God has changed you, how blessed people are to be around you, how you radiate the love of God." Don't underestimate what the Holy Spirit is doing through you, just the way you are. Because just the way you are is just the way God has made you. And it's just radiating His love through you. Some of us hold back a little bit and are a bit embarrassed, maybe, or conservative to speak about their faith. That's fine. Speak in God's timing, not your own. And then you'll be going with the flow of the Spirit. Verse 4 says, "Such confidence as this is ours through Christ before God. Not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God. He's made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life." That's because if you break one of God's commandments in the Ten Commandments under the old law, you're condemned completely. You've broken them all. The coming of Jesus, with Him bringing the forgiveness of sins on the cross, eternal life, giving the gift of the Holy Spirit, is an absolute world game changer. Going on to verse 7. "Now in the testimony, now if this ministry that brought death," which is the Ten Commandments, "which was engraved in letters on stone, came with glory as it did, so that the Israelites could not look steadily in the face of Moses because of its glory, fading though it was, will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? If the ministry that condemns men is glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? For what was glorious has no glory now in comparison to the surpassing glory." That's the glory of the new covenant, the gift of the Holy Spirit, not written on letters on stone, written in human hearts, the indwelling of the Spirit of the living God. "Now if what was fading away came with glory, how much greater is the glory that which lasts, the love of Jesus." Verse 12, "Therefore, since we have such hope, we are very bold. We're not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to keep the Israelites from gazing at it while the radiance was fading away. But their minds were made dull. For to this day, the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed because only in Christ is it taken away. This is a great analogy. The veil is taken away when we give our hearts to Jesus. Even to this day when Moses has read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away and the light of Jesus shines out. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. This is the other aspect that is so important. Instead of there being a weight of the law over our shoulders, we have freedom because it's the Spirit of the living God that guides us and taps us on the shoulder if we're on the wrong path. It's the Holy Spirit that lifts us up and gives us direction when we go on the wrong path. When anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord. Here is the Spirit. I just wonder how the Pharisees would have ministered to Rico and Rick. I wonder how the Pharisees would have ministered to Rico and Rick. I wonder how they would have got them in a room and said, look, you're on the wrong path. I want you to follow these rules from now on. They wouldn't even listen to school rules. They would have been lost forever. I wonder about Richard and many others that are here today. What would have happened to me? I would have been lost, but for Jesus, and but for the cross, and but for the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is what convinced me about the kingdom of heaven. The gift of the Holy Spirit was what convinced me. I was shaken to the core when I was filled with the Holy Spirit, and I've never been the same again. I know many here were as well, and still are, in the great wonder of what God can do. Without Jesus, many, including myself, would be lost. I wouldn't have responded to the law. I wouldn't have responded to a list of rules to live my life. I would have gone my own way. But once you've received the Holy Spirit, you're changed. You're born again. I was talking to an old friend on the phone yesterday after. I rang him up because as I was praying about delivering this word, this message this morning, I had my heart was crying for the young people in Iran. Isn't that crazy? It's not like Iran has got anything in particular to do with 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And I knew this guy would know a bit about what is actually going on in Iran. And what is happening in Iran is that the millennials, if that's the right way of saying it, in other words, people born after 2000, there's a great revival running through Iran where people are turning to Jesus. It's fueled by a lot of dissatisfaction about the regime there. It was happening before the war started. It's gathered pace now. It's encouraging. The gospel is spreading quicker is in an Islamic state than it is in a free country like Australia. Do you think, and they're all home churches, underground churches, because if you get caught following Jesus, in many cases you could lose your life. Do you think that it's being spread by people handing leaflets out with a list of rules on it? What do you think spreading it? I think it's the Holy Spirit of the living God. I don't think that it could be anything else, because it's a supernatural event. When the kingdom of light comes, the more you try and repress the word of God, the more it explodes. The more you try and put an iron lid of darkness on the truth, the light, the more, like putting a lid on a saucepan with boiling water, it'll blow it off. That's what's happening in Iran. There is great persecution at the same time. So in your prayers, please pray for the people in Iran. That's the cutting edge, the front line of the gospel of Jesus is in Iran. The guy I rang up to talk about Iran was Ben Gray. Ben's been a mentor to me for some years. And I said to him, I want to talk about the power of the Holy Spirit. I always do. If Trent gives me three verses to read out of anywhere, I'll end up talking about the Holy Spirit. And the reason is not because I'm trying to be smart or anything. It's because the Holy Spirit is the core of who I am and who we are now. He's our God. He's our guiding light. The power of the Holy Spirit is what brought us here this morning. And as I said before, some people are more conservative than others. For me, it makes me just want to tell people and talk about it every time I get a chance. But for others, it's a much quieter ministry. I said, what happened, Ben? I said, you know what it's like when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And he said, I was a mining engineer in Burnie in the west of Tasmania. And he said, I had a wife and a little baby girl. And he said, I never saw them because I was so busy. And I was away at a machinery conference one time. And he said, when I got back, they were gone. My wife and daughter were gone and left a note. Because they never saw me. And he said, my secretary brought my car around and said that she didn't know where they'd gone, but she did know that they weren't coming back. They had confided in her, or the wife had confided in her. And Ben said, I sat on the end of the bed and looked in the mirror at myself, and I said, God, if there is a God, I need you. Next morning, the secretary came around and she said to him, I don't know why I've got to tell you this, but there's an address in Hobart and you've got to go there. It's 47 Cross Street, Newtown, Hobart. And he said, what do you mean, go to Hobart? And then he heard a voice say, you must go. And the next day he packed his stuff and he drove across to Hobart, no wife, desperately worried about where he was going with his life. He told his boss that he'd be away for a week, and when he got to this place, he knocked on the door, and it was an old Catholic monastery where the nuns used to stay. But it had been converted into a halfway house by a Baptist church. And he knocked on the door and someone came out and they said to him, what can we do for you? And he said, I don't know, I've been told to come here. And it was cold and he sat by the fire. And they said, after giving him something to eat, do you know anybody? And he said, I said, No, I don't know anybody. And this lady said, we do. We know Jesus. And he said, I thought to myself, oh no, and these people are Christian weirdos. And he said, but as I said that, he said, I heard that voice again saying, you need me, Ben. You need me, Ben. And then they said to him, have you got any faith? And he said, no, I don't. And the man there said, that's okay, you can use our faith. I want you to repeat this prayer. And he gave his heart to Jesus. And he said he was filled with the Holy Spirit with such power that he fell off the seat that he was sitting on, which was next to the fire, which was keeping him warm, and he ended up on the ground. And he said he felt like he was floating. And later on that day, he went to bed. Later on that night, rather, he went to bed and still feeling this sense of floating. And he was reading the Bible, but instead of reading Matthew, Mark, Luke and John like they had suggested, he was reading Revelation. So he came the next morning with a head full of Revelation, which but he said, when I woke up in the morning, he said, I looked out the window and he said, I couldn't believe how clean everything looked. The city was clean. He said it was just the colours were bright. And when he came downstairs to breakfast, he said to this lady, someone's cleaned the city up. The city is so clean and the colours are so bright. And the lady looked at her husband and said, he's got new eyes. He's been blessed with new eyes. So there's the Holy Spirit in Ben. In Ben's life, and Ben has an extraordinary ministry all over the world now, and particularly in the Middle East. And he is teaching pastors in Egypt every year. Extraordinary ministry. He talks not a great deal about it, but he's been kicked out of various countries for distributing Bibles and all sorts of wonderful things. That he's we're under the hand of God, and the Lord always protects him. And I think he's about 78 now, so he's getting on. Where's Ricky M. Rico now? And where's Rick, the other Rick? About 10 years, maybe 15 years ago, I sat beside Ricky Newton's bed in Grafton Hospital as he was dying. 8 years younger than me back then, whenever that was. And he had lupus and he was dying, and he was a bit scared, but he said he was trusting in Jesus. Yeah, he came to the Lord, Rick. Came to the Lord before he died. He wasn't a rule follower, but he was a Holy Spirit follower. He knew the love of Jesus because of the living Spirit of God in his heart. Where's Rico, the other one who didn't follow rules? Well, Carol and I stayed with him and his beautiful wife up in the hinterland of Noosa last week for a couple of days. And I said to him, how's things going with the Lord? Still a bit of a renegade, Rico. He's done very well in business. His English teacher said to him, Rick, from the gutter you have come and to the gutter you will return. The gutter's pretty high up there. Rick's a multi-millionaire. But it's not about money. He has this amazing moral compass, Rick. He's not a practicing Christian. And I asked him about it, and this is what he told me. He said, "Well, I said to the Lord, I'm not going to bother you very often, but I believe in you." That's what he said to God. Which is pretty cool, I thought. I said, "What happened then?" He said, "God said to me, oh well, Rico, you're not going to change, but I'll take you as you are." So they're the two Ricks. The first one is up behind Noosa there, living in a beautiful house with his wife Colleen, and the second one has gone to be with the Lord. Neither of them rule followers, and might I say, if it had not been for Jesus, both would be lost. Both would be lost without the gift of the Holy Spirit. So I better wind things up now because I've been rambling on for a long time, and there's still a bit to go in the service. I'm told there's some things with the children, so I'll be very quick. The last bit was, what does all this mean for us? I guess I'll just list them off. Many of us don't realise how much we shine. I just wanted to say too, as well, with all this, often people come out and talk about the Holy Spirit, and you'll see it in churches where, and you think, why can't I have what that person has? I've just known God all my life since I was a little child. I sort of always knew about God. What's this thing about the Holy Spirit? How is it relevant to me? And all I'd say to you is that if you could see yourself through the eyes of those around you who you meet every day, they will tell you there's something different about you. Have you ever been asked, what's your secret? My secret is the cornerstone of Jesus, always there. I link everything in my life to that, and so do you. The next point is, ask the Spirit for opportunities that you might be able to share the truth, like what's happening in Iran. Find a quiet place and talk to God. I know that many of you do this. Can I just say that one of the places we were when we went away for a week last week, we went up to Beachmont. Some people might have been there. There's a retreat up there with little cabins, and I was sitting on the veranda of the cabin one afternoon when I was trying to figure out what to say this morning, and the Lord just came to me in a very, very special moment, just as the sun was going down. It's very quiet there, and it was a time of about 20 minutes of just walking and quietly talking with God. So quite often I don't practice what I preach, but you know that little line that I've written down here, I ask you to take very seriously. Spend some quiet time with Jesus. And if you relax into your new self, in inverted commas, and wait on the Lord, you will shine even more and the veil will be taken away. The last one is, second last one is, guard your heart. Guard the confirming power of the Holy Spirit that's within you. Ask the Lord to guard your heart, guard your treasure. You hear of Christians who have said, I'm no longer walking with the Lord, I don't believe anymore. That is the truth, is this treasure has been stolen from some people. Guard your heart. Ask the Lord to be with you, to put the armor of heaven on you. Pray for the people in Iran. And lastly, there's a prayer that I think you should maybe consider praying at some stage. And this is the last point. When I was doing a bit of research in Exodus, I came across a line that I'd read before, but it just hit me how important it was. When I prayed the prayer and was born again and asked Jesus into my life, I said these words. And I remember, this is exactly the words I spoke. I said, "Show me your power, otherwise I won't know that you're real. Show me your power, or I won't know that you're real." As I was reading through Exodus 33, "Then Moses said to him, 'If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and that with your people unless you go with us?' And then Moses said a little bit further on in verse 18, and Moses said, 'Now show me your glory. Show me your power.'" And I'll leave you with that. And I just feel so honoured to be able to stand here and share what God has given me to such beautiful people. We have a wonderful church. And I think from little snippets I heard that Mike spoke about us all being connected together. It's so very important. The Lord has put bonds between us in heaven that we know nothing of. That's when we're away from each other and we see each other again. There's a spirit joy inside us that comes out. We have to look after our brothers and sisters. If you get a chance to help anyone, don't let the chance go away. What a wonderful church we have, this part of God's church. Let's pray. Our Father, I just give thanks for your presence with us always, for your guidance, for the way that you look after us. You put our feet on higher ground, on paths of righteousness. When we stumble, you pick us up. You minister to us. You are there, even though sometimes we have other things that distract us. But Father, we give thanks for your goodness and mercy to each one of us. In Jesus' holy name, amen.